so send me everything, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Pastor David Yours with Maranatha International, a church of worship with the word and healing. What an exciting time that we are in right now. I just want to encourage you, just to let you know that God is on your side. I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I always look forward to coming and spending this time with you. For those that are listening, you might have some of the people from the Bahamas that have gone through that storm, and it seems as though all hope is lost. I just want to encourage you with the scripture, and it's Isaiah 43, starting off at verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, God says, I promise I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, they shall not burn you, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you are precious in my sight. So for those that are maybe going through something very difficult, you might have gone through a very difficult divorce. You might have gone through, you've heard some difficult news this week. I just want to let you know that, just be encouraged. There is a bounce back in you. And I want to know that the scripture says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's nothing that you cannot overcome. The scripture says that we are more than conquerors. You are strong. Put your hand on yourself and say, I am strong, I am whole, I am renewed, and I am victorious. Glory to God. Now, before we get into the word of God, I want to pray, and then we're going to get right into some things that I believe that is important to you, important to grow you as an individual. Let us pray. Father God, I come before your presence. Father God, David declared, who in the heaven, no God, is to be compared to you? Father God, you are righteous, you're pure, you're holy, you're glorious, you're wonderful, no God, in all your ways. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for Jesus Christ. So we come before your presence in the name of Jesus, declaring, Father God, the end from the beginning. Declaring, Lord God, that we are victorious. Declaring, Father God, that we have won again. So, Father God, I pray, Lord God, for your divine presence. Father God, to just be so evident, Lord God, in our midst. We ask, Father God, for the anointing that will destroy every yoke of the enemy. As we speak across these airwaves, Father God, we ask, Father God, you may reach into every home, into every business, and let there just be a revival, Lord God, that sweeps across this area, in this region, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the wisdom of the mechanics and the leaders, Father God, in this radio station, Lord God, that you may bless them, bless their homes, the sacrifice that they have made, Lord God, to bring forth and to have given opportunity, Lord God, to hear this message, Lord God, over the years. So we thank you, we bless you, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray, amen and amen. Well, once again, I greet you. I know you can't see me right now, but I have a big smile on my face because the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he's also your strength. So I just want to encourage you again. Some things I just want to to talk about before we get right into the Word of God. You know that we have been on the air for just a little bit over a couple of months now. And you know the information that we've been giving is relevant, and it's been helping you, and it's been building you. We've been talking about Teach Me How to Pray. If you believe that this has been a blessing to you, I want you to call us. I want you to reach out to us. I want you to engage. That's the next step. See, faith without works is dead. It's one thing the scripture says that we hear, but it's another thing to move out in faith. There are certain things that we need. As you know, that this is a kingdom of God-centric ministry, that everything that we do is to glorify the name of our God. Even the name depicts that. The name of this ministry is Maranatha. It means come quickly, Lord Jesus. So everything that we do is to prepare the saints for the coming of the Lord, to empower them and to know, to teach them who they are in Christ, to walk in the authority and the dominion that they have. So when you come to this ministry, it's not just a ministry just to take up and occupy space. But I believe that this ministry has influence, it has affluence, and also I declare that this ministry is going to affect not just locally, but also throughout this country and then throughout the world. So you definitely want to be a part of it, especially like it in its infant stages. Now, some of the things that we're definitely going to need, and I know we're having listeners that are listening from all spectrums. You have listeners that maybe can, the most they could give is probably like $5. But also you have listeners that could have the means and have the extra that they can sow into this ministry. Just to kind of give you some of the thoughts, from my heart, if I can just kind of speak from my heart. There's some ministry needs that's in our community that's very needed. First of all, one of the ministry needs is the homeless. When we first started this ministry, we had a homeless program where we would bring the homeless, we pick them up off the street, and we bring them to a facility. We'll give them clothes, we'll give them food, and then we have a section where we actually prayed for them and laid hands on them, and then invite them out to church with the intentions to change their mindset and to help them be a productive citizen. So one of the needs is that we need a building right now, and I know someone that may have like an extra building, say, here, I can use this building for the glory of God. So that's what I want to kind of share my heart real quick. So the first thing is to minister to the homeless. The second thing is that we want to do is that we want to build the character of men. Right now, before church starts, we have a character building class for men that we go through and we teach them how to walk in integrity and character, and how to build strong men. Right now, we're actually going through the book of Proverbs and learning about wisdom, how to apply wisdom, the difference between understanding and knowledge, and how to apply the application of wisdom in our daily lives. But I want to bring that to a bigger scale where I'm sowing into the men. And a lot of times the men, you may be going through some stuff, and as a man, decide to say, hey, you can't cry, you can't show your emotions, you just have to suck it up and you just have to go on. But I believe that a lot of men are maybe hurting. Right now, they might have gone through some situations, in relationships, in churches, and so forth. But we want to sow into the men. And I believe that God has been really tugging on my heart to really sow into men and to build their character. So I want to expand our class to a building. That's the reason why we need a building. The third thing is that we need a building for a nursery facility. We want to shape the minds of our youth, of our young people, and imparting to them the wisdom of God that they may walk at that level where God intended them to walk. So we ask also for just the covenant partners, just a partnership with us, to join us as we also cover the cost of this radio. I want to extend this radio from a half an hour to an hour. And I believe that someone has the means to say, hey, Pastor, I will come alongside of you. I don't know you, but I've been listening to you. I feel your heart, and I know it's something genuine about you. But I want to sow into your ministry. Here is a building for you. Here is some resources that you can use to accomplish the vision that God has placed inside of you. All right, I know I didn't take up too much time there, but I believe that was important to share that with you. Now, as you know, we've been talking about teach me how to pray. I believe it's a critical point where we are right now where we have to pray. We have to pray for our nations. We have to pray for our communities. We have to pray for our leaders. It's not just good enough just to criticize and to point fingers and say, here's, you know, what they're doing wrong. But as a church, as a body, we all need to undergird the leaders that are in our set places, in our churches, in our schools, in our political arena, but also in the United States, as the head over to the United States, is to pray for them. But I believe that as I'm teaching you how to pray, you can now not just listen, but also now apply this to your life. So we've been talking about teach me how to pray. And the anchor scripture was taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1, when the disciples saw Jesus praying. And then after he finished praying, he pulled Jesus aside and said, hey, would you please just teach me how to pray? Because the way you pray and the results that are emanating from you, I want those same results. So we've actually been talking about some of the hindrance to our prayers. A lot of times we get frustrated. We take the loose leaf and we throw it on the ground and says, Lord, why are you not answering my prayers? It doesn't seem as though it really make any sense. Should I pray? Why should I pray? But I believe that, you know, just be encouraged that God wants to hear our prayers. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the things that we talked about as far as like the hindrance of prayer, I've came up with a list. And it's not an exhaustive list, but there may be others that maybe could add to it. But these are the things that I believe that may be hindering us from the answers that God has for us. The first one is doubt. I believe if we have doubt when we're praying, our prayers will be hindered. I believe it was in James 1, when it says that for instance, James chapter 1, verses 5, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. This is the part I want you to catch. In verse 7, it says, let no man think that they will receive anything from the Lord if doubt is prevalent. So the hindrance to our prayers is doubt, fear, unbelief, sin, unforgiveness. You know you held someone in your heart and you say, I refuse to forgive. Lord says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. So it's important that we forgive and we bring that and we take that hindrance away from our hearts so we can get the answers, our prayers answered. The 6 is wrong motives and bitterness. But we've talked about doubt and we give some definitions of doubt. So that's the first one that we kind of took on and we just kind of talk some things about doubt. The second thing that we started was fear. That's the second hindrance. And we talked about some things about fear. You know, fear is basically having faith in what you believe is going to go wrong. We also saw in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8, the scripture says, be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, meaning the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So one thing we have to understand about fear, and I know we talked about it last week, but we're going to go over it again so it kind of gets deep inside of you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the scripture says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, meaning dunamis, where you get the word dynamite, of love, agape, and of a sound mind, a mind that is disciplined, the self-control. We also gave some definitions of fear. The first definition was phobos. The scripture says that which may cause flight, dread, or terror. The other definition is dileia, which means fearfulness. It's actually used in 2 Timothy 1, 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of dileia, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
So we see here that fear plays a very important role in blocking or becoming a hindrance. As I was looking at some of the things in the Bible, I noticed that the Bible makes it very clear that when we have this hindrance in the way, it calls us and blocks us from going into our inheritance or receiving what God has for us. Like, for instance, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 19. The scripture says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, so we see that there is an hindrance. And also we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not fixed or mixed with faith in those who heard it. So a lot of times you see, like for instance in the Bible, where Jesus went into a place, and he went back to his hometown, and the people from his hometown kind of took him for granted. And the scripture says that he could not do many miracles there because of the hindrance of fear and doubt and unbelief. So we see that is a very important topic that God wants us to talk about. Now, one of the things about fear, we have to now find out, okay, we understand fear is a hindrance, but how do I remove that hindrance? How do I remove this fear from my life? You know, if I was to put out a survey and say, list some of the things that you're fearful of. Yes, I'm fearful of heights. I'm fearful of snakes. I'm fearful of failing. I'm fearful of people in general. And just various things that we are fearful of. But how do we remove that fear? Because the Bible makes it very clear. As a matter of fact, he commands us. God commands us and says, fear not. And over 80 times, we see the statement, fear not, listed in the Bible. Now, I'm going to go over some things as far as like, what are some of the cure for our fear? How can I remove fear from my system? The first thing is that we have to walk in love. We have to walk in love. We see, for instance, if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love. Yes, you see that? Let me read that again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. What do you mean by perfect love? I'm talking about perfect love. It means a fully grown, completed love, a matured love. See, a lot of times we look in the body of Christ and we see people that have, they are saved, but they have not fully matured in love. So therefore, we see situation where people are getting hurt. People are getting snapped at and doing things that are not necessarily written in the Word of God. And then walking fully in love. So let's read this again. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, a matured love, a fully grown love. It casts out fear. In other words, it turns fear out the door and it expels every trace of terror. And what are referring to? Yes, love. When we walk in love, it removes the trace of terror. And it takes fear out the door. Fear brings with it the thought of punishment. It brings torment. You know, someone that is fearful, it torments you. I can't go outside. I can't sleep with the lights off because I'm terrified of what may happen. I can't go outside because I might get bit by a mosquito. I'm terrified. It torments us. It brings a torment to us. The rest of the scripture says, but he who fears has been made perfect in love. 19, we love him because he first loved us. Now, in the scripture, we see that the Bible talks about how we should walk in love. We are given the command to love our neighbors, to love God first, and also love our neighbors as ourselves. But also, we have to walk in love. Like, for instance, we see in 1 John chapter 4, the same scripture, 1 John chapter 4, but let's look at verse 7 and 8. The scripture says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the first thing in removing fear from the equation of our of who we are, we have to walk in love. Now in Romans chapter 4, verses 5 and 5, it says, "Love, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." God's picture says, I want the love of God not just to be of a little amount in you, but I want it to now burst and become in abundance in your heart. So when you're rubbed the wrong way, when you're pushed the wrong way, when they press your button, love will come out of your very being. So in Romans 5 and 5, it says, love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Now also, we see here that also the Bible makes it very clear where he gives us a checklist to of what love is and what love looks like. I was reading, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Let's start at verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, wow, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Someone take a cymbal and just begin start hitting it the wrong way, and you just hear this clanging sound. It's not necessarily making any music. It's just, man, just put it down. Put the drumsticks down. It's a clanging sound. And that's what it says, that if I have the ability to speak with the angels, speak with the tongues of angels and men, but if I do not have love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you know, be able to tell you specifics, call and say, hey, this is what's going to happen, and you're detailed about it. And if I have the ability to prophesy and understand mysteries, unknown things, and the knowledge, and though I have all faith to say this mountain, be removed and be now cast in the sea, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Zilch. Nothing. Wow. Verse 3. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, even though I come, go to my bank, empty out my bank account, go down to Goodwill, and I give all my money for the relief of people in the Bahamas, in Abaco, and I empty out everything, the scripture says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Wow. Now let's look at 4 now. 4 now gives us a checklist. You know, sometimes you may go into a warehouse, and you want to take an inventory of what is in that warehouse. What are the elements that's in that warehouse? Now, chapter 13 now gives us an idea or an intro. Take an introspect to see exactly if I am walking in love. Like, for instance, let's see here now. It says, love is patient. Are you patient? Are you patient with your spouse? Are you patient with your children? Are you patient with the people that you work with? Are you patient with your enemies? All right, love is patient. Second thing, love is kind. Love is kind. Are you kind? Do you say things in a kind manner? Are you kind in your approach? It also says love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not behave itself rudely. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Something happens bad to someone, you say good, it shouldn't, they had it coming to them. Look at them. It had it coming to them. No. Love does not rejoice in that, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. So we see here that the love of God, if we're walking in love, what happens is that it causes fear to be removed. It removes fear from our equation. The second thing is that how to remove fear is by feeding on the word. You remember when the scriptures that we just read this in 2 Timothy? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a what? Yes, soundness of mind. By feeding on his word, what happened is that it gives us a soundness of mind. In Psalms 119 and 165, it says, great peace It's promise from his word because we're feeding on his word. Also, we see in Psalms 119 and 130, he says, at the entrance of his word, it gives what? Light. Now, when I go into a dark room and I turn on light, does darkness kind of hang around and says, I'm just going to see exactly what's going to happen? No, it's immediately dismissed. The scripture says the word is like that light that comes in and it automatically dismiss darkness. What is darkness? The fear or the works of darkness. You see what I'm talking about? David came around and now he says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So we see here that these are some things that we can use to remove darkness. And also we have to have a revelation of the fact that God is with us. In Psalms 118 and 6, it says, the Lord is on my side. That's all I need to know. The Lord is on my side. Why am I fearful? The scripture says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I refuse to fear because the Lord is on my side. In Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. That gives you an idea of Emmanuel, meaning God with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The third thing about removing fear is to strengthen your faith. And my time is elapsed. It went by so quickly. I was so having so much fun with you guys. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to invite you out. I want you to come out and I want you to worship with us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Our number is 561-383-6574. Once again, 561-383-6574. Also, go on our website, www.maranathainter.org. This is a church of worship, the word, and healing. And I just want to say, be encouraged. You can make it. You can do it. David says, by my God, I run through a troop. I leap over a wall. It says, the scripture says, I mount up with wings as eagles. I run and I'm not weary. You can overcome. You will overcome. And that's the fact. May God richly bless you is my prayer. And may his face shine upon you is my prayer. God bless you. Love you with an unconditional love. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
This is Pastor Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to tune in right here to WCNO 89.9 FM for the Grace Alive radio broadcast. This program airs Sundays at 9 a.m. and again at 9 p.m., and a brand new time on Fridays at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. You'll hear a sermon followed by a roundtable discussion about the sermon by our pastors. We look forward to spending time with you each week as we share God's Word together.
Over Zion, I am jealous. Over Zion.